Listen, folks, I'm here to confess to you, I'm going to preach someone else's message today. I'm going to preach a message, one of the messages that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. Matthew chapter 7, let's begin with verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Look at this way, please. How many of you have ever heard of the golden rule? Okay? All right. The Lord Jesus gave that. And that's not really the message, but that's a good principle to live by. Nowhere in the Word of God does the Bible teach us that we can work our way to heaven. Good works do not impress God, because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His eyes. In verses 13 through verse 27, we have a comparison. We have some choices. Chapter 13 and 14 talks about gates to heaven. Chapter 16 through verse 23 talks about the preaching of God's word and preachers, and beware of false prophets. And then verse 24 through verse 27 talks about building houses. You might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It's interesting how the Lord Jesus Christ would use illustrations to amplify biblical truth. As we look at these three things here today, I want to remind you that Jesus told over and over that He was the only way to heaven. Make sure that you understand this. If you don't get anything else in the message, make sure you remember that Jesus Christ Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then He punctuated by saying, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Now, if you went to a doctor and the doctor diagnosed you with some form of a terminal disease, and this terminal disease had one cure, and that was to remove that tumor, to remove that cancer, and he said, "You need to have this removed or you will die." How many of you would rather have that doctor tell you, "You know, you've got something that might be kind of bad, and if you feel like it, maybe you should come back and see me, and we'll talk about one day getting that out of there, because it just might be bad for you." When the truth of the matter is, in a matter of months, that thing will kill you if you leave it there. Wouldn't you rather him tell you the truth, or would you rather him be tolerant? Jesus Christ always told the truth. Always told the truth. I'm going to ask you to forgive me for the boldness of this title. The title of the message today is Three Ways to Go to Hell. Three Ways to Go to Hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that as many people use that word of a destination of the ungodly, of the sinners, Lord, of the destination that I deserve to go to, a real place, a devil's hell. Lord, it's not a curse word, but it is a curse. And I ask you, God, that you would help us, Lord, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your preaching. Thank you for your word that you gave us. Help us now as we look into it. Lord, may we follow and obey it, I pray. Speak to our hearts. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 13 of chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Have you ever wondered why it seems like most people in the world do not accept God's plan of salvation? Why, when you hand a gospel tract, very few people will say, "You know, I've been looking for the way of salvation." Very few people will say, "Thank you so very much for giving me the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ." Some people will look at it and toss it down. Some people will say, "No, no, thank you, I'm fine." Some people, when you knock on their door, and they'll say, "No, I'm such and such. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I whatever excuse they want to give." Isn't it amazing that broad is the way? Broad is the gate that leads to destruction, that many there be which go in thereat. And so the temptation is to think that perhaps the majority could not be wrong. Ask a man named Noah, who just he and seven of his family entered an ark, and the rest of the entire world, the rest of the population was destroyed with a flood. The Bible says in verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The first way to go to hell is by decision. By decision. Intentionally. Choosing to not believe God's way of salvation, choosing my own path, choosing my own way. A dear lady was a member of a church, of a Bible preaching, preaching church. Her husband was not saved. She witnessed to him faithfully. She was submissive to him. She loved him. She did everything she could to portray Jesus Christ in that home. He was an alcoholic, a drunkard, and he served that God in his life, and he didn't want any part of Jesus Christ. The pastor had been to the home on many times, had talked with him about the Lord. He had attended the church a couple of times on special events. Invitation time would roll around, and he would push it away. She'd be praying for her dear husband and asking God to save his soul. Her husband got very ill, got very sick, and it looked like that he was not going to survive. The pastor came by and prayed with him and asked him if he would receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. He refused and pushed him away. That husband, he did pass away. He died. They had the funeral there at the church service. Many of his friends came. Some of his buddies he drank with and all that kind of thing. His dear wife walked up to that preacher, walked up to the pastor and told him, said, "Preacher, don't you dare soft soap his message. Don't you dare soft soap what God has to say. My husband, as far as I know, he's in hell right now because he chose to not believe God's gift of salvation and not to receive the wonderful payment that was made by Christ at Calvary. It's about the cross. And he refused it. Don't you try to preach my husband into heaven. He is not there. I've been with him all the way up through, and I prayed for him. I wept over him. We can't do anything more for my husband. But you preach the way of salvation clear. There be many other people that don't know Christ as their Savior, and you tell them where he is, and you tell them where they can be. They can be in heaven." And boy, he preached heaven sweet and hell hot. And there were souls that were saved. A choice. A person can go to hell deliberately with their eyes wide open. My friend, I said in my prayer, and I say today, were it not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where I would be, or that's where I would be headed. But because of his gift of salvation, I didn't deserve it. He deserves all the glory and the praise. He saved my soul, and I received the gift of his salvation. Please do that today. Don't go by the way of decision intentionally. Don't go to hell. It is your choice. It is your choice. No one here is going to twist your arm. No one's here going to make you. In fact, Jesus Christ is not going to even make you. He's going to lovingly draw you, but you can refuse. First way to go to hell is by decision. The second way to go to hell is by deception. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, beware. Now, very few times in the Bible do we find beware. Now, when I'm going knocking on doors and I see beware of the dog, I do take that into consideration. I do. I have a little process that I go through. If there's a gate and that thing's on the fence there, I rattle the gate. And then I wait a little bit. You ever heard of Pavlov? Okay? And they know what that gate sounds like, you know? And I rattle the gate, and I want to see what I'm dealing with. And here comes a monster poodle. Or here comes a full-grown Doberman, you know, little different choices and things, you know? But I do listen when someone says, beware. When Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, when he says, beware, we better not just gloss over that. Better take it seriously. Beware of what? Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. I encourage you to underline that sentence. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather the grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Again, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Let me pause here for a moment. I believe that the Lord repeats himself here because anyone can present a flowery message. Anyone can impress you. Anyone can seem like they're sincere. But if you watch their life, that is where the truth will ooze out. The truth will shine or the truth will be darkened. Verse 21 says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, capital L, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And he emphasizes it by this verse, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, in the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached? There'll be teachers of God's word, preachers, evangelists, missionaries. May it not be so at Volusia County Baptist Church. But there are churches and denominations across all this universe, across all this world, where people are preaching in Jesus' name, but not in Jesus' spirit. And in thy name have cast out devils. Okay, so you got people that are preaching and teaching, and you got others that are casting out demons. Now, Jesus did not say seemed to cast out demons, devils. They actually did. That's kind of spooky. In other words, they're not just preachers, but they have spiritual power. Just because someone has spiritual power does not endorse them. Make sure that their life matches up with what they're preaching. Okay, now listen, please. They had spiritual power, and the Bible says, in thy name done many wonderful works. In thy name, miracles, miracles. You understand and realize that there are two great powers in the world. The power of Almighty God, and that is, and his power is supreme. And the power of Satan, who was it? One of the members, I don't even remember the name. One of the members of that metal rock group called AC/DC of years gone by. He said, you can get things done by the power of God or by the power of Satan. Either one will work. There is real power that Satan has in this world. Don't you remember in the book of Acts? A man named Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer. And do you believe in real magic, preacher? Yes, I believe in the devil's magic. I believe in that. I believe that he has power to do miracles. I believe that. Now listen, please. God is greater than Satan and all of his demons put together. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we should not fear Satan and his power, but we should fear Almighty God. Many will say to me in that day, we have prophesied thy name, we have cast out devils in thy name, and we've done many wonderful works. Verse 23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now here's the thought. A person can go to hell because of decision, and a person can go to hell because of deception, because they would not heed the word of Jesus Christ, because they followed someone that would lead them astray, because they followed someone that for whatever reason, be it ego or be it money or whatever, wanted to lead people to destruction. You say that wouldn't happen. Remember a guy named Jim Jones? Here, let's all drink this Kool-Aid. Didn't tell them it was laced with cyanide. There's a deliberate choice on the behalf of that leader to lead those people to destruction by deception. You say, that's terrible. That's awful. There are people, well-meaning people, that will swallow whatever is fed to them. Yes, and that's why Jesus said, beware. Beware. You and I laughed at when I said, when there was a sign that said, beware of the dog. You laughed when I said, you know, I rattled the gate. And yet, the Bible tells us, by their fruits ye shall know them. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch at how they walk. So you can go to hell, Jesus says, by decision. He says that you can go to hell by deception. And last, he says you can go to hell by delay. By delay. Look, please, at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Say, well, how do you get that delay? We find here that Jesus never said that the foolish man did not believe that he should build on the rock. The Bible says that whoso heareth my word and doeth it not. James talks about a wise man, a spiritual man, being one that heareth the word and doeth it. How many times have you witnessed to someone? How many times have I presented the gospel to people? How many times have we given the way of salvation and people would nod their head, they would bow their head, the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart, and they think, I need to do that. I need to be saved. Yes, I understand I'm going to die one day, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm just going to put it off. And right now, I'm just going to build on the sand. It's too difficult to find a foundation, too difficult to move from where I'm at, too difficult to give up my habit, too difficult to give up this substance, too difficult to give up my friends. I'm just going to wait a little while, and when it's right for me, then, much like King Agrippa in Acts chapter 25, when the Apostle Paul was witnessing to him, and he turned to him and he said, some more convenient season, we'll talk about it again. And never again do we find King Agrippa and Festus and all of them. How many times have you shared the gospel with a loved one? I was a senior in high school. My father had come to visit. My father and mother, some things happened in his life and decisions that he had made. And he chose to leave our family. And he didn't get to visit very often. We lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he lived in Cleveland, Ohio. Maybe once a year I'd get to see my father. My heart was breaking for my dad. My heart was breaking that no matter what happened, I wanted to see him in heaven one day. I remember I walked him out to the car this one particular day, and I don't know that I actually told my mother about this. Walked him down the basement stairs of the house and out the garage, and he was parked in the driveway, And he was about to get into his car, and I was holding on to the window of the door. And I said, Dad, I said, I can't bear the thought of you spending eternity in hell. I said, I've got to know. I've got to know, are you saved? I've just got to know, are you trusting Jesus to take you to heaven? Tears welled up in my eyes. Tears welled up in my dad's eyes. He looked away from me and kind of looked up, and he said, Mark, he said, at one time I had an experience with the Lord. But I don't believe somebody can do the things that I've done and be a Christian. I said, Dad, I love you. I want you to be saved. My dad got in the car and he left. Over the next 12 years, God whooped my dad and whooped my dad. After about 20 years of my family being apart, my mother came to me and she said, what would you think if your dad and I were to get remarried? I said, Mom, after I got up off the floor, I said, Mom, I never would have dreamed. She told me about what God had been doing and doing in his heart and all of that. I told her, I said, nothing would picture the love of God for Israel, who Israel had departed from God and God had divorced Israel and God's going to take Israel back, the Bible says. Nothing would picture that any greater. My mother and father got remarried, and that closed a chapter and a hole in my heart, by the way. I would be preaching. They'd come to visit. I'd be preaching in Ripley, West Virginia, when we were pastoring there. They'd come to visit sometimes. And I'd be preaching the gospel. I'd be preaching the word of God, and I'd look out there, and my dad had tears just streaming down his cheeks. I heard my dad pray at the dinner table. I could never remember hearing my father ever pray. And praying and thanking God for the food, thanking God for salvation, thanking God for the family, all that kind of thing. God did a wonderful work in my dad's heart, my dad's life. There was still that little question, just wondering. It was just a few months ago, probably about a year ago now almost. It was after a church service, and they always watched the live streaming, always watched. He had his Bible there, and always watched the live streaming. My mother, she leaned over to my dad and said, Bob, are you sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you sure that your sins are forgiven? Would you like to pray and settle that once and for all right here, right now? He nodded his head and said, yes. I don't know if he was saved before. Seemed like that God was whooping him like the prodigal son throughout his life. I don't know. But he was so confused, he did not know. And he prayed. And I came over. It was just about a year ago. I came over just to check on him after church on Sunday night. I walked over there to the house. I walked in. My mother said, your dad prayed and asked Jesus to save him just a few minutes ago. I said, Dad, is that right? He tears streaming out of his cheeks. He said, yes, I did. I'm not sure that he knew that 2 months later he'd be in eternity. I'm not sure if he knew that. And I'm not sure if you know how much time you have or how much time I have. But is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? Can you look to a time that you put your faith in him? You see, Jesus said, ye must be born again. When were you born again? When were you saved? You can go to hell by decision. There's not a whole lot of people who go to hell with their eyes wide open wanting it. Not very many. Not very many. You can go to hell by deception, by listening to someone who won't tell you the truth. There's a bunch that'll be spending eternity in hell going that way. But the most of folks that are going to go to hell are folks who are going to say, yeah, I think that's right, and I'll do that, but not right now. That's what gets most folks. And they don't know that that's the last opportunity they have. This could be your last call. Someone wrote the song, someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Sir, God sent you here today on purpose. God wanted to give you one more chance. Ma'am, God wants to save your soul. Teenager, you may think you have a long life ahead of you. That's what Satan wants to tell you. Let me ask you, when were you born again? If you died right now, do you know for sure in the promise of Almighty God that you would go to heaven? If you would say, yes, I know for sure, I don't deserve it, but Jesus died in my place. I put my faith and my trust in him. I'm trusting Jesus to take me to heaven when I die. If that's your testimony with no one looking around, would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Just slip it up just for a moment. God bless you. God bless your hearts. That's most folks. Thank you for your honesty. If you did not raise your hand, you would say, well, I just don't know for sure. I don't have it settled. My dad did not know for sure. He did not have it settled. But I'm thankful I'm going to see my dad one day. I'm thankful that that was secured 100%, all on Jesus. I wonder if you would say, preacher, I wish I could say I knew for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I don't know. I want to know. Would you let me help you? I'll simply point you to Jesus. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you let me lead you to Jesus Christ in a simple prayer that if you will pray from your heart, God will hear your prayer. He will see your heart and he will save your never dying soul. Today, would you claim the gift and make it yours? Just simply pray something like this where you sit. You don't have to pray it big and loud. You can whisper it to God where you sit. Dear Lord Jesus, just pray that to the Lord right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again like the Bible says. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and save my soul. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to live for you and not be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Somebody in here prayed that prayer. I want to rejoice with you. He would say, preacher, I prayed that and I meant it and I asked Jesus to save me just then. I didn't put it off today. I'm born again in the family of God with no one looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and take it down? Let me rejoice with you. Let me rejoice with you. God bless you. Would you put your hand up with mine? God bless you. Amen. God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. You may put it down. Thank you. Are there others? Are there others? God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Amen. Are there others? Anyone else? As you say, I'll lift my hand with you, preacher. I asked Jesus to save me just then, and I meant it. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking you for honoring your precious word. Lord, thank you for welcoming these folks into your family. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be a blessing. Lord, help us to have a desire to see lost souls saved. Help us, dear God, to have your will in our life. I pray, God, that you would do this. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand. I'm going to come down front. And if you ask Jesus to save you, I want to give you something that will help you in your Christian life. I want to have a brief word of prayer with you, and you can go back to your seat. We're not going to embarrass you. I want to love on you and thank God for what he's done in your heart. If you raised your hand a moment ago, you prayed and said, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of you. So don't be ashamed of him. I'm meeting you halfway. No one else will be looking. You just come to the nearest aisle and come right to me. I'll shake hands with you and have prayer with you. We'll put something in your hand and take home so that you can grow in the Lord as you should. Maybe you need to come and pray for a lost loved one, a lost co-worker or neighbor or friend. You want to lift them up and ask God to save their soul. I'm here to tell you, God answers prayer. Would you do that, Christian? Would you be concerned enough for the lost without Christ to lift them up in prayer, to bend that knee, to bow your heart and say, God, please save this one dear to my heart? Now, you Christians decide what you're going to do before you stand. And when you stand, you move immediately right then. If God leads you, you come and obey his voice. If you've been saved today, you come and meet me right down here. Let's all stand together and move. As we sing, Brother Bob's going to lead. He's going to sing. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy. Just come on. Just come on right now. That's right. That's right. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus has done for you. God bless your heart. No one's going to force you. He'll surely give you rest by trusting in his word. You asked Jesus to save you just then. Just take that first step towards him, would you? Tell that person beside you, say, excuse me. And just come on. Meet me right here. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He'll save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Sing one more verse. For some are here praying. There's another chance. Another chance to proclaim Jesus Christ. To thank him for your salvation. Would you come? Would you come? Washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you,
he will save you now.
God bless you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. You've been so kind and so gracious. As the ushers are making ready, we'd like to take up this offering for the Ingiani family, and especially for Jacob and Jennifer, and to help with these needs of the family. And so if you would, please, gentlemen, if you'd make ready. And tonight, I hope you'll be back in your place. Serve God somewhere as an usher, as a nursery worker, as cleaning. On Friday mornings or mowing, in the choir or the orchestra, find a place to serve somewhere. And if you're not yet involved in Journey Through Christmas, I invite you to find a place to serve there. This is open to all of our attenders, all of our folks who attend our church. We invite everyone to be involved. We'll feed you. We'll feed you well. And we can't pay everybody. We'd like to do that too. Most people can bake cookies. Gentlemen, when you're ready, come on down. Most of you can bake cookies. And we're going to need, the week of Journey, we're going to need around 12,000 cookies. That's right. At least 12,000 cookies. We serve about 6,000 to 7,000 people, 2 cookies per person. And so we need that. We need a lot of hot chocolate and all those kinds of things. So plenty to do, and everyone can find a place to serve. Well, I've reminded you now of our two, let's see, now you all are 16 or 17? 16 years old, okay? 16 years old. And now they have responsibility for so many things, and they're going to live with their sister, and so pray much, if you will, for their whole family. And perhaps you did not come prepared to take part in this offering today, and you would like to be a part of this effort. You could come tonight, and if you're in the memo field, if you put down there in Gianni, or I'll tell you what you could do. Just write the word twins. Write the word twins. That would be fine. And but everything that comes in this offering here tonight, everything that comes in this offering will go for them. Let's bow in prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your grace that is amazing. Thank you, Lord, that both Jacob and Jennifer know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that they have both followed you in believer's baptism. Thank you, Lord, that they have been faithful. Lord, that they've been faithful witnesses. They've been faithful in their attendance. Lord, I thank you for all these things. I pray now that you would provide miraculously, not just financially, but emotionally, and wrap your loving arms around them. And Lord, may there be people in our church that reach out in love. And Lord, I thank you so much for what you're going to do now. We give you the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.